In a world where political conversations feel like minefields and family gatherings require diplomatic immunity, what if there was another way? Stephen T. Collis, a First Amendment law professor who navigates society's most divisive issues daily, offers a refreshing alternative. Rather than retreating to our corners or shouting across the divide, we can develop habits that transform conflict into connection. These aren't just theoretical concepts. They're practical skills for surviving Thanksgiving dinner with your politically diverse relatives or contributing meaningfully to solving society's greatest challenges. The journey begins with a humbling realization. Most of us don't know what we think we know, and acknowledging this might be our greatest strength. Have you ever noticed how confidently people speak about complex topics they've barely studied? This beginner's bubble of overconfidence affects us all. We read one article and suddenly feel qualified to debate policy, a dangerous form of intellectual overconfidence. Throughout history, acting with insufficient information has led to devastating results, from medieval scholars misdiagnosing the Black Death to today's family arguments about complex policies. The antidote is recognizing how much more there is to learn. Even specialists who've studied narrow fields for decades acknowledge they've barely scratched the surface of available knowledge. This humility combats the Dunning-Kruger effect, where people with limited knowledge overestimate their expertise. Our opinions are often strongest when we know least, softening as we recognize our ignorance, and becoming forceful again only after achieving genuine expertise. When we understand how little we individually know, conversations transform from competitions into collaborations, opportunities to learn rather than chances to win. Our brains weren't designed for the digital age. Every notification and algorithm-selected post triggers our dopamine system, the same neural pathways exploited by gambling machines. Behind every digital interaction stands experts dedicated to keeping us hooked, exploiting our neurochemistry for profit. This addiction machine thrives on outrage. Algorithms prioritize angry voices and frightening news because emotional content drives engagement. Foreign actors have weaponized these vulnerabilities by creating fake personas that inflame divisions across the political spectrum, not to support particular causes, but to turn us against each other and undermine democratic values. Breaking free requires recognizing our universal susceptibility. The illusory truth effect, where repeated claims feel truer simply through familiarity, affects everyone regardless of intelligence. Peacemakers diversify both their information and dopamine sources through meaningful conversations, reading books, experiencing nature, and serving others. What might change if you dedicated as much time to these pursuits as to scrolling through social media? When was the last time you changed someone's mind by calling them stupid? We often categorize people into those who agree with us, those with extreme opposing views, and fools, transforming good people into adversaries simply because they hold different opinions. Jonathan Haidt's research shows humans typically form gut reaction conclusions first, then reason backward to justify them. These reactions stem from six moral foundations, with political differences reflecting varied psychological reactions rather than moral superiority. Arguing about surface issues without addressing underlying motivations is like trying to mail letters to the wrong address. Effective dialogue requires understanding someone's bedrock concerns. Are they worried about unfairness, suffering, or preserving institutions? By identifying their true motivations, you can work toward solutions that satisfy both parties' moral concerns. Ask genuine questions and listen completely, not to find weaknesses, but to learn. Continue asking questions until they ask you something, creating an opportunity to share your perspective after truly understanding theirs. Have you ever said something in anger you immediately regretted? Emotions often hit like tidal waves, clouding rational thinking. Psychologists compare our instinctual emotions to an elephant and our rational brain to the rider. We need to train the rider to maintain control. We all have topics that trigger overwhelming emotions. Rather than immediately trying to change yourself, recognize which topics you cannot yet discuss rationally and refrain from engaging until you've developed more emotional control. Our capacity for rational thought is part of human dignity, what distinguishes us from other species. By embracing this dignity, we can tame our emotional reactions and engage meaningfully with difficult topics. Every position has costs and trade-offs. Understanding these helps you grasp the strongest arguments against your position, either strengthening your view or revealing its flaws. Catchphrases often reduce complex issues to oversimplified soundbites. Peacemakers look beyond inflammatory rhetoric to engage with sophisticated versions of arguments. When you feel certain about a divisive issue, challenge yourself. Can you articulate the strongest argument against your position? Not a caricature, but the most compelling case someone could make. During the Constitutional Convention, delegates with profoundly different positions collaborated effectively because they spent time together outside formal debates. Staying in the same boarding houses, dining together, and sharing evening teas allowed them to find common ground through personal connections beyond political differences. There's wisdom in saying, there are the people we love, and there are the people we don't know. When we understand others' circumstances, what philosophers call moral luck, the conditions of birth, environment, and biology that shape us, we become less judgmental and more compassionate. This principle transforms parenting. One parent discovered that understanding his child's lower executive functioning completely changed their relationship. What seemed like willful defiance was actually a differently wired brain. This insight helped them comprehend a difficult family member whose similar neurological differences had caused years of harmful behavior. In our increasingly isolated society, making time for face-to-face connection, especially with those different from us, might be the most radical act of peacemaking possible. What relationships might transform if you approach them with curiosity rather than judgment? Peacemakers cultivate inner calm that radiates outward. Like the four chaplains who remained composed during the 1943 sinking of a troop carrier, giving away their gear and guiding soldiers despite chaos, peacemakers develop practices that maintain composure in difficult situations. Our bodies perceive threats through our amygdalae, releasing stress hormones. While this response is automatic, we can control its effects through mindfulness. Simple practices like intentional breathing, inhaling for 4 counts, holding for 4, then releasing for 4, can halt stress hormone production. Journaling reduces depression, anxiety, and stress while boosting immune function and gratitude. Many avoid it due to perceived time constraints, but starting small with modest expectations allows even brief entries to build momentum. Finding inner peace requires deliberately scheduling time for beneficial practices. Peacemakers don't hope to find windows for meditation, reading, or journaling. They designate specific daily times and treat them as sacrosanct. In our fractured world, becoming a peacemaker means transforming ourselves first. By cultivating these habits, we create spaces where genuine dialogue flourishes, differences become opportunities, and we discover that what unites us runs deeper than what divides us. The journey begins with daily choices to listen carefully, speak thoughtfully, and approach others with curiosity and compassion.